He had good insight. He said the deterioration of our nation has nothing to do with the White House, has nothing to do with oil, has nothing to do with the war. It has nothing to do with the gay movement, the abortion crisis. The deterioration of our nation is simply found at home. And for 1 minute, I fainted, came back to that on the radio for one moment in time, folks realized that all the problems that we have, or the majority of them, are symptoms of a greater problem. And the greater problem that we have in America today is the family. Now, you might say, well, I don't fit in because I live alone and I do all these other things. No, no, you fit in just fine. If you'll stick with me just for a couple of minutes, I'll show you where you fit in at. Widowers, widows, all those things. That's why I felt real good about where I was at in my lesson plan for today when I was asked to come over here. Folks, our families are deteriorating at a rapid rate. Dr. Williams said that the divorce rate was 52% back in 1990. Now, for a moment in time, the divorce rate went down. But it was simply because folks weren't getting married anymore. Back in the day, and not too far off, living together was not a good thing. Today, it's commonplace. Avoid the messy paperwork. We live in a society today where we miss the point. We miss the point. Even if you didn't go to church 30 years ago, you still could have a strong family. There still were ties that you loved your mom and dad and they loved you. You didn't think about doing any of the things that are so commonplace today that we have to vote on in the courts and vote on in the House and the representatives and vote on in the Congress, because that wasn't even a thought back then. A man marrying a man, why would we even have to take a vote? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. See, what's amazing to me is that it's even being discussed. We talk about, well, bless God, we should be able to, let's go forward and have an amendment. Why do we have to have an amendment? I mean, I hope they get it. They haven't got it yet. But I hope they get it. But to be real honest with you, in this church, you're never going to see that happen here. It's disturbing to think that those days are knocking on the door, where they're going to come to your house of worship and they're going to say, no, you need to marry us because we're here and we're part of your church. So you have to, no, no. If it doesn't fit in here, it doesn't fit in here. See, what we've got today is a simple fact. It's not a crumbling of our foundation. This is good stuff. Just wait. This is not my stuff. That's why it's so good. We are not suffering from a crumbling of our foundation. We're not. We're suffering from a crumbling of what our foundation is built upon. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Hearing this message that was preached over 16 years ago, and realizing how far we've come just in 16 years. See, I'm 36 years old now. It's not like I'm a child anymore. I know that because I just worked yesterday and my back's killing me. I know I'm not a child anymore. Okay, I understand those things. I realize what's going on now. It's a sad state of affairs, and it's one you don't want to run into. But at 36 years old, I'm not 18 anymore. And you're starting to understand that. 18 years old, I said, man, I'm never going to get fat. How'd that work out? I'm never going to be sore. I'm going to work out till the day I die. Apparently, I died about 25 years ago. Matthew chapter 7. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God, please. Matthew chapter 7, from a very familiar passage. Starting in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, glory to God, and not as the scribes. Let's pray. Dear Lord, please come down in a mighty way this morning. It saddens my heart where we're at today, but it gladdens my heart to know where we can be tomorrow. Help us. Strengthen us. Lord, let me decrease and let you increase today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please see. Dr. Tom Williams has one of the most impressive stories about his life that you'll ever hear. He has one of the most impressive marriage trials and storms that you'll ever hear. His first wife got sick and she died. His second wife got sick and she died. And to sum it up in that many sayings is impossible and certainly not an attribute to what he has done. One of the greatest men you'll ever meet. But I'm going to tell you right now, folks, he gives you something in a few of the things that he says that are just jewels coming from a man who has been there. It means something from a man who has been there that can tell you, I've been there. It's hard for a man to preach about homosexuality that does not have any history of having people that are homosexuals in his family. I feel very educated about preaching on that. I had it in my family. I've been there. I can sympathize with what you're going through if you've got a homosexual in your family. I can sympathize with you. Okay? He can sympathize with you if you're having marital trouble. He's been there. Okay? Now, he says, and I like this. The Bible is like a mirror. And by that, you ever see a fat man look into a mirror? I see it every day, okay? Every morning when I wake up, I see it. The fat man looks in the mirror, and then he walks away and must forget what he looks like. Because not too much longer, he's at the table eating, okay? And I laughed out loud when he said that, because that's like myself. I've told my wife at least 1.5 million times, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to eat less. I'm going to do things right. I look in the mirror and I say, oh, my Lord, what have you done to yourself? Wow. And then I walk away. And I must forget what I look like because I go right to the Twinkies, right to the M&Ms. I'll be all right. It's just one. Okay. The Bible's just like that. How many times have you come to this altar and said, I'm going to make a change? How many times have you come to this place of worship and said, you know what, Lord, I've had it. I'm not going to live my life like this anymore. I'm going to make a change. I'm going to do right. You must forget what you look like, because then you walk away and you do the same things you did before. Now, you might say, well, man, how dare you say those things to me? I can say those things to you because I live there. And if you say that you don't live there, check your address. Because your address, the mail's being delivered to that house. See, we live our lives in a way anymore today. And what's disturbing to me more than anything else is not living in a day and age where they hate God. Because we don't live in a day and age where they hate God. We don't live in a day and age where they love God. We live in a day and age where we don't care. See, it's like looking for a home site, and that's why we're talking about these verses today. Because what in the world does this have to do with marriage? Well, I got a very simple thing for you. And what does this have to do with your life? See, the thing is, it's not just about marriage. It's about your whole life. It's about what you've done and are going to do with your life. He likens this to a house. And if you're looking for a building site, you're not going to want to look for a building site on sand. The inspector's not going to let you build there because they know that your house is going to fall down. Now, let me compare the two houses for you. No matter what you build, I don't care if your foundation is 8 foot thick, 7 foot tall. If it's built on sand, your house is going to go down. If your foundation is built on 8 foot block, and it's only three courses high, but it's built on a rock, the house is going to stand. Why? Because of what it's built upon. Now, years and years and years ago, the foundations of America were built upon God. They were built upon God. You can say what you want to say. If you go back into any of the documents that this country was founded upon, it was founded upon God. The men believed in God. And they believed that He was a God that was going to sustain this country for ages. And He has. Because we've stayed founded upon God. It's tough to break a house down that's built and founded upon God. It's tough to break a house down that's built and founded upon a rock. But we've been shifting the rocks around a lot. We've taken the foundation out of the hands of preachers and out of the hands of those that would make this country good, better than it is. And we've given it into the hands of politicians and those who would want to destroy the very thing that this whole country and this whole house was built upon. It's not even a great thing to be a family anymore. Did you know that? They give more love and care to a single mom. And I'm blessed, God. I'm thankful for single moms. Don't misread me. I'm glad that they've got the fortitude to go forward. But I'm going to tell you right now, they give more credit to a single mom that's made it than to a husband and wife that have made it. That's not right. See, we live in a day and age where the foundations of our homes have been built upon the sands. And no matter what happens, eventually the homes will fall. I want you to notice something in these verses. The trials are the same. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. If you're saved today and you love God, your house can be founded upon the rock of Jesus Christ. It can be. Doesn't mean that that's where you pick to put your house. You can be a saved person today and not build your house upon the rock. You can be saved today and still not trust that Jesus Christ will pull you through. You can be saved today and love God and trust Him. I can't look into your hearts and know whether you're saved or not. But I know this for sure. If you're going to start a family or you're going to have a family, you better get your house built in the right spot right off the bat. Because eventually, the rain's going to descend. You might say, well, I've got the perfect marriage. I never fight. I never have a squabble. I never have any problems with my spouse. They're perfect. Wow, that's a shame. My wife's looking for that person. Whoever that is, she would love to have your phone number. I am not him. The rains have descended on our house. The rains have come. And a lot too long ago, the rains came in and wrecked my brand new ceiling. Now, the family that's over here that's got their life built on the shifting sand, they've got their life built on what they care about looking good, what they might think might work for them, the rains are going to come. I don't care how wealthy you are. You can be a millionaire in here today. You can have thousands and thousands of dollars, have a gorgeous wife. Your husband could be Hulk Hogan, perfect man, wonderful to look at, perfect. Are unhappy? Years and years and years ago, I saw an interview. These folks won the lottery. They hit the lottery. $200 and some million, they got to split all that up, like six of them.
They got to split it up. Out of the six, all six of them were married when they won the money. They got about, after taxes, about $20, $25 million apiece. Oh, man. Did you add what? $25 million. Problems are over. They interviewed them 1 year after they won the money. 1 year. 365 days after they won the money. Six families. Can you just take a wild guess at how many were still together? Zero. There were no families together. Now, money is wonderful. I'd love to have a lot more. But I've got news for you. Money doesn't make you happy. If it made them happy, these six would be still together. Or at least half. Oh, no. Not only were they not together, they hated each other. See, here's the funny thing about that. Your foundation has got to be upon one thing and one thing only. I don't care what part of the world you're in. If you literally would put your foundation on Jesus Christ, found that upon the rock, your house is going to stand. Oh, it might only be a ranch, but it's going to stand. It may not be that mansion you're looking for down here, but at least it'll stand. I would rather have a one-bedroom efficiency apartment founded on the rock than a mansion founded on the sand. Because no matter how pretty it looks on the outside, inside it's falling in. That's what America is today. You understand that? You're living in a country that looks pretty from the outside, but inside it's deteriorating. Inside we're deteriorating. It's not because of the queers. It's not because of the presidency. It's not because, it's because of your home. Oh, well, the churches are doing this. The churches are... No, it's not because of the church. It's because of your home. It's because the homes can't stay together for more than 5 or 6 years. The homes can't stay together. They can't love each other. They can't understand that it's not the person that they have to worry about so much. It's themselves. Turn over to Titus. Titus chapter 2. Now understand this. I want to show you. Do you know that Titus is in the Bible? Do you believe the Bible? I mean, really, do you believe the Bible? If you say amen, I'll get done quicker. Okay. Titus is in the Bible. We believe the Bible, right? Okay. Tom, he made a very important statement. I want to get this to you when I get to that in the scripture. I never saw it the way he said it before, but it is so true. And I'll probably make some people mad at me today. Don't want to do it, but it'll probably happen. Titus chapter 2, the Bible says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers." You know what that is? No hen house. No gossip. I'll get to the men in a second. I just had to throw that in for the ladies. "Behavior has become with holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands." To love who? Their husbands. Their own husbands. Their husbands. You're supposed to love your husband. You're not supposed to love the husband down the street. You laugh at that, but this is what you've got to know. Your husband is your husband, not somebody else's husband. Don't wish your husband to be somebody else. Your husband is your husband. But by the way, your husband has to put up with you. Just as much as you have to put up with him. I'm not taking anything with, trust me. It's harder for her to put up with me than it is for me to put up with her. Hands down. That's not the point. The point is I'm her husband. Do you believe that God gave you your spouse? Then don't love somebody else. Don't love somebody else's spouse. That, you think that'd be simple, wouldn't you? Oh, that seems like a simple thought, brother. That's dumb. I can't believe you told me that. It's amazing how much somebody cares about somebody else's husband, though. Well, my husband. Well, your husband's so much cleaner than mine. You haven't washed his underwear, stupid. It's a simple thing that we have in society today. We covet so much. Why don't I have the right car? Well, somebody else has the right car. He must be a better man. No, he's a different man, and he's not yours. See, my wife is married to me. I'm the only one she gets.
Does that give me the right to just slough off my responsibilities? Just, I'm not going to get it. You have to live with me. No. My responsibility to her is to make me lovable. That's a big responsibility. I should have desire to her to make her desire to have me. I'm not talking sickness here. I'm talking about you should be a man that she should be proud of. Think about that for a minute now. You should be the fellas in here, you should be a man that your wife is proud of. And by the way, ladies, don't get in a group of ladies, and this is going to make me upset here in a minute. Don't get in a group of ladies and talk about your husband. I'm going to tell you right now, ladies, you get together and you start talking about your husband, no good can come of that. And I'll tell you why. You say, well, I compliment my husband. Oh, do you? It doesn't matter. You just made the other lady feel bad. My husband's loving. He gave me flowers the other day. I'm glad. Brag. That's wonderful. But you know what? You just made the other lady feel bad. Now she looks at her husband like he's not so great. See, what you got to understand is this. We live in a society today where we want somebody else's whatever it is. We can't live with what we've got. That's why we're in debt up to our eyeballs. That's why we're living in... Everything is a literal symptom of the foundation of the family's crumbling. What they're built upon, crumbling. We're not happy with what we've got because our foundations are crumbling. See, what's amazing is this. Let's continue to read. Be discreet. Now, this verse 5 is where it's at. Ladies, you're going to get mad. I'm going to tell you you're going to get mad, but this is the way. This is what the Bible says. Do you believe the Bible? Amen. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, amen, to love their children. Look at the next verse. To be discreet, chaste. Did they take the next phrase out? Keepers at home. Boy, you are really... let me get to where it's at. This is what Dr. Williams said, and this is good, good stuff. Here's the stuff. You can... I'll give you the DVD. You can call him later. Don't call me. Call him later. His stuff. In 1941, December 7th, as a matter of fact, does anybody know what happened? Pearl Harbor. Amen. Woo. Do you know what else happened? Do you know what else happened? The women went to work. For the first time in America's history, the women went to work. Rose in the river. Remember that? I know. I wasn't alive. I've seen the picture. And you might say, well, Brother Dave, right now is not a good time to be talking about that. No, no. We should have been talking about that ever since 1941. Should have never left us. See, what's happened is this. Ladies, you've forsaken the great job that God has called you for, and you decided to do a job that's not your calling. You decided to go out and try to make a little extra money, and bless God, I'm thankful for that. In this day and age, we live in a society where you almost have got to work to live. I'm not taking anything away from that. What you've got to understand is this. The Bible way, what the Scripture says, we just read it. Throw it out if you want to. Rip that page in your Bible out if you feel that bad about it. But let me explain something to you. The minute that you quit raising the children, we hurt. Why is that? I got a statistic for you. And again, call Tom Williams. He's the one who gave it. The crime in America went up 500% 16 years after 1941. The end of that, by the way, isn't that an incredible jump? Why is that? Would they ask J. Edgar Hoover, head of the FBI, some fellow who's running the country? They said, J. Edgar Hoover, what's the problem? Who's committing these crimes? 90% of the crimes, I believe I've got that number right, 90% of the crimes are committed by kids 16 to 24 years old. Why is that? There's nobody home to take care of them. There's nobody home to rear. See, what you've got to understand, ladies, is this. The way that God wants you to do things is a way that is hard for you to live with because you can't have the lifestyle that you think you ought to have. Hold on to that thought for a minute. Babysitters can't raise your children. Did you know that? Oh, man, I'm feeling the stairs on me right now. I'm feeling it. I am. I feel you working ladies are after me. I feel it. And I understand your plight. I understand what you're saying to me. I understand it. It's impossible to... No, it's not so. Where does my wife live?
today being raised. I don't care if the ladies go out and work while the kids are at school for a couple hours a day, make a little bit extra money for themselves. That's fine. We don't have to live in mansions down here. We've got them waiting for us in heaven. We don't have to drive a Maserati when a Ford Pinto will get us to the job. Now, I understand what a Ford Pinto looks like. Who wants to drive that? I drove that for years. I hated every day of it. I'm going to say that right now. I hate it. Ford Pinto. Station wagon. Two-tone, Kevin. You like this. It was a two-tone Pinto station wagon, but the two-tone didn't go horizontal. The two-tone was split right down the middle of the car. My uncle was painting the car. He was trying out new paint techniques. He wanted to learn how to clear coat. And so he practiced on that car before I bought it. Half of the car was purple. Like a more purple than less maroon kind of, but it had like a maroon and purple mix. Dark. It was ugly. For a car. If I'd been putting on a tie, but not on a car. That was half of the car. And that was clear coated, real shiny. The other half of the car was red. And the red was covered up by spots that he was practicing his Bondo work. Gray, and then he painted that red, which was the brand new red, not the faded red that my car was. That car was all kinds of different colors. You think I got made fun of at school, Kevin? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got made fun of. But you know what? It was what I could afford. And here's the thing. We live in a society today, again, where the family, if you don't keep up with the Joneses, you're not a good family. You must not be a good provider. I've got news for you. We have suffered through all these changes in America because of the breakup of the family. Period. It's not the breakup of the church, because your church is only as strong as your families are.
That's right.
Your church is only as strong as your families are. It's not about that. If we would keep our houses and our homes built on the foundation that is called Jesus Christ, our churches would still be strong today. But I don't like this Christian evangelical movement that's going on in America today. It's not our movement. That's some crazy wacko movement that they got going on right now. All I care about is helping our families. Well, don't let the queers marry. It doesn't affect my marriage when the queers marry. No, it doesn't affect your marriage, but it might affect your children. That's the whole thing people are missing. But it doesn't hurt my institution of marriage. The whole book is, Annie, there's the deterioration of the family. And so the people say, well, it's not going to deteriorate my family. No, but it may deteriorate the family of their children. See, what's going on is this. Back in 1941, when the ladies had to go to work to make us more war parts, which, hey, you know what? I didn't live back then. I didn't know how it was. But they went to work doing those things. And at the home, it was deteriorated. They made those changes then, which is that have had massive repercussions on our nation today. Families split up just like it's no big deal. The foundation split because the winds come, Annie. The winds come. The rains come. The problems come. The storms come. And your house goes over. It deteriorates. And the Bible says, how great is the fall of it! We're watching the nation right before your eyes, having how great is the fall of it. You know what I'm saying right now? I said this before, and I'll never quit saying it. Mike, I never understood. One of the craziest statements he ever made, I couldn't believe he said it. I sat here. He said, I didn't start loving my wife until much later after we got married. What? But you know what? Let me tell you something. There was a truth to that. I literally, when I married my wife, man, I tell you, she walked down that aisle, never forget. Woo-hoo. I was standing right here. She walked down that aisle in that dress. I'm like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. You did all right. I'm crying like a baby up here, looking stupid. Tammy never cried, by the way.
Are the same foundations they've always been. They're just not built upon the rock. We've shifted our house over to the sand. And you know what? Most people don't care. That's what worries me more than anything else, Brother Mike, is we live in a society that doesn't care. That's what bothers me. Hate God. Go ahead. Hate is the other side of love. But don't be lukewarm. Don't be complacent. A marriage is a work. It's not about tolerance, Brother Rod. It's about we don't care. Tolerate nothing. We don't care. What's the matter is, and I got a lot of people that were against me on this, but I got one more minute. I'm sure the bell's going to ring any minute. A lot of you folks were against, not necessarily a lot of you folks, but a lot of folks were against me when I wouldn't talk to my mom for 10 years. That was probably one of the most difficult situations I've ever been in my whole life. I loved her. But what she had to offer was not part of my foundation. And you might say, well, Brother Dave, don't you think that's a non-Christian attitude? No. I prayed about this, folks. See, what's the thing is, I want you to understand something. I didn't make that decision in 10 minutes. Man, I fought with that one. I fought with that one. I said, she's my mom. I should love her. And you know what I realized? I looked in the Bible. It said, honor thy father and mother. And I said, what's that got to do with anything? The best way I could honor my mother was standing against that lifestyle. Because I was honoring my foundation, which is Christ. Well, I've got a lot of homo friends. You should break the ties. Ooh, that's tough. It's quiet in here. That's tough. I lived there. It's pretty hard to be a Christian here and take your Christianity out there and then get rid of it. It's like your house is for sale. I'm not going to be a Christian in front of this person because it offends them. And let me tell you something. My mother, for the longest time, oh boy, she was not happy. Well, bless God, is that Christianity? If that's Christianity, I don't want any part of it. That was already pretty much explained that she didn't want any part of it because that's what she decided to do. But this is what happened, Brother Tom. And get a hold of this now. when you decide in your life to stand for something, stand there. Don't get Lucy spine later on. No, you stand right there. If you decide to stand, you stand. Don't move, just stand. Now, because I made that stand, and because I cried, I wept, I mourned, I hated that life for 10 years. You can ask my wife, I fought with it and fought with it and fought with it. It was not easy. I fought with it. You know what happened? It happened because I stood on my foundation and decided, I don't care what happens, I'm not going to be moved from here. I can't preach against the queers yet have lunch with them on Tuesday. And you say, well, bless God, that's not what Christ would do. Oh, yes, it would be what Christ would do. Christ came down, he would witness to those people, but if he didn't get them, if he didn't leave them to himself right there, I promise you, he'd walk down the street. And when this happened to my mother, I told my mother, no, I don't want you to do this. Please don't do this. I'm begging you don't do this for a year or so. We tried, and I tried to witness, and I tried to bring her. I tried to get her to come, but she would not come. So I said, I'm standing here. You can go there, but I'm standing here on this foundation. You know what happened? She went that way for a while. But then she turned, and she started to come back. And you know what's amazing? She promised. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this day. Lord, I thank you so much for bringing my mama back to you. Lord, I pray that her life would continue to grow towards you in a way that you would be well pleased with. Lord, I'm so thankful for your forgiveness. Just as she needed to be forgiven for what she did, Lord, there's so many things I need to be forgiven of in my life. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you're always there to forgive. I'm so thankful that you're always there to cleanse us from the sins that we just continually commit. And Lord, I'm so thankful that my foundation, and I've been taught this truth, that my foundation is upon you and my marriage is always going to stand. Lord, please help us. Help my wife and I to always look to you for our foundation. Lord, never get our eyes off anywhere else. Lord, I thank you for the privilege that it was to be over here today. Lord, I pray that you get in the hearts of these people and realize where their foundation really is and help them to go there and to stay there. Lord, help this church to become greater and stronger than it's ever been before by the strengthening of our homes. Lord, I pray for the homes that are in disarray today. It's so easy to get in disarray today. Lord, help them to get things back in order so they can become stronger. Lord, I love these folks. I love them with all my heart. Please strengthen them today in you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.